Benefits.
It's common knowledge that after age 30, our metabolism changes. We have less energy and gain weight easier. There's a way to feel better, not in years or months, but sometimes in just days.
I'm Chuck Norris. I tried everything. Working with a team of health experts, we came up with Morning Kick. Morning Kick is a revolutionary new formula that combines all my favorite supplements into one daily drink.
Morning Kick has probiotics to help you lose weight, prebiotics for digestion, superfoods for muscles and joints, and powerful anti-aging supplements. It'll help you feel youthful, energized, and helps manage stress.
I look and feel better than I have in years.
Go to roundhouseprovisions.com, use code SAVE, or text SAVE to 511-511 and claim 40% off. roundhouseprovisions.com, code SAVE.
Every purchase comes with our 90-day money-back guarantee. You could be feeling these changes within just a couple of days.
Text SAVE to 511-511.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Text fees may apply.
Gen Z teachers have gone all out this year to make young students feel at home by creating spaces kids want to be in.
You could just do so much with decorations and so much with theme days and so much with different movies.
Videos with classroom setup hashtags have flooded TikTok. Searches for cozy classrooms have soared 430% on Pinterest since August.
Disco balls and neutral colors, even maybe even getting a couch, I think is so cute.
One second grade teacher in Northern Idaho's bathed her space in browns, creams, and beiges that channel a 70s coffee shop with boho rugs, flower pillows, and wicker baskets. She tells the Wall Street Journal a decorated classroom outside the norm is fun and inspiring. Deborah Rodriguez, CBS News.
And finally, they might not find it fun, but a British charity that runs more than 40 public schools in the UK is set to ban phones during the school day. This based on evidence that smartphones disrupt students' learning and well-being. I'm Vicki Barker, CBS News.
Nourish your soul every Sunday with WMST. Start with Gaither Homecoming Radio at 7 a.m., followed by Gist Howell and the Main Street Church of Christ at 7:30. After the 8 o'clock news, it's Sunday Morning on Main with Becky Black till noon. Then 6 to 9 Sunday evening, tune in to the Reggie Gay Gospel Show. Find encouraging words and music every Sunday on 106.9 FM, 1150 AM WMST and WMSTradio.com.
Here's your LAX 18 Storm Tracker forecast. And for your Saturday, a mostly sunny sky, getting hot, a little more humid today, too. High temperatures will be in the middle and upper 80s. For tonight, under a fair sky, it's nice, we'll be in the low 60s. And then partly to mostly sunny for you on Sunday, and highs into the upper 80s. I'm Chief Meteorologist Bill Mack on WMST.
Good Saturday morning. Coming to Saturday morning, it's 9:05 a.m. It is time for a Sports Extra show from the Scott Family McDonald's out next to the interstate with the one and only award-nominated Ivan Rawls. Good morning, Ivan.
Thank you. What an excellent intro. And my special guest today may take odds with the actual fight song that you used there today, because typically we use the fight song of his favorite college team and school, is University of Alabama. But I did like the little Georgia there, Battle Hymn of Republic there. The cats are going to have to.
I might get
cats
little
are maybe licking some wounds.
That's all right. You know, the number one team in the country, a small NFL team comes in, you kind of got to give it to them a little bit.
Give them a little homage and maybe kind of soften them up a little bit. You know, doing that, they may think they come in here and in the feel-good mode. They hear everybody, you know, lauding all their accomplishments and standing in the nation right now. But maybe we can surprise them. Maybe we can shock the world. We can be like the greatest of all time, Muhammad Ali and Kentucky native. Maybe we can shock the world today, Tom.
I don't know what I was thinking. I thought, you know what, I might stump Ivan a little bit this morning, throw a little curveball at him. But no, that's why he's an award-nominated broadcaster.
Hey, what I will say, Tom, when it comes to college fight songs and to college nicknames – I'm pretty darn good at those two things. When I was a young kid, as I was telling you earlier, I said, I have a bunch of random, useless knowledge in my head. And if you ever go on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, you want me to be your caller friend. Because that question that you don't know the answer to, there's a good chance it's in my satchel somewhere. So, you know, when I was probably about 12 years old, I got the almanac out. And I just started going through, and I was looking at all the universities, and I was looking at their nicknames. And it just kind of, you know, locked in. You know, because like I said, you had teams like Northern Arizona, the Lumberjacks back then, and the Western Illinois Leathernecks, and things like those random names that people wouldn't know. You know, everybody knew Villanova and Kentucky and Arizona and Alabama. They knew all the common big schools and names that were very prevalent. It was those offshoot teams, those regional teams, or those directional teams that we call a lot of times. People didn't know those, but I for some reason, you know, hey, I know the Youngstown State Penguins, you know.
Well,
who doesn't know that?
The next time I'm filling in for the legendary and one and only Jeff West, I'm gonna have to step my game up.
Hey, but I liked your try, though, man.
I appreciate it.
We do appreciate you stepping in again today for Jeff West, who is lounging in luxury on the beach somewheres and enjoying his stay. And, Tom, we appreciated you last night.
Yes, sir.
On our broadcast of Indians football last night.
Glad to be a part of it, buddy.
Well, thank you very much, and we'll throw it back to you a little bit later, but we'll get our show started here today at the Scott's Family McDonald's. As Tom mentioned, we're here at the Maysville Road location here in Mount Sterling, the Great Gate City. We want to remind everybody to partake of all the great things that they offer here at the Scott Family McDonald's, whether it's the Maysville Road location or out at the Pilot Travel Center off exit 113.
The Scott Family McDonald's in Owingsville that I went through this morning and got my McGriddle, you know what I mean?
Hey, you got your McGriddle and you got your nice Coca-Cola. You're down there. You're feeling good. I thought I'd upset you by missing your Saturday morning cartoons, but
no.
I think I did you a service this morning.
Good. I'm getting ready to take a nap, buddy.
All right, man. Thank you. Put it on autopilot for a little bit. But, hey, later on today, maybe Tom will take advantage of the great banana split Kit Kat McFlurry that they have here. It's the Kit Kat Banana Split McFlurry. Let me get that right. You talk about indulging. It's still some warm days here that you can take advantage of that great ice cream flavor with just that iconic Kit Kat bar. Give me a break. Break it up. Put it in that McFlurry. My goodness. You're talking my language right there. That's my love language, if anything. But it's here for a limited time. Take advantage of that. Take advantage of McDonald's app and all the great rewards that you can get from there. It seems like every time now when I come through, I've got a new reward that's being offered to me that I take advantage of. And one of those great rewards are those free fries on Fridays that you can get. Man, nothing like the McDonald's fries, I'll tell you that much. Anytime I come through McDonald's, I get an order of fries, and I'm traveling, those are the first things to go. You want to get them piping hot, and boy, nothing like the McDonald's fries. But last night, the Indians' first road game went over to Paris to hashtag Orange City, as they're calling it, the artificial turf and the orange turf, what we believe may be the only orange turf that's being played on, especially in the United States, so whether it's high school, college, or pros. Fabulous setting last night as a part of the Blanton Collier Classic. The Montgomery County Indians went over with a 2-1 record. They come back home all evened up at 2-2 after they went down to Paris, who went to 3-1 after last night's victory. They beat the Indians 34-14. Indians got off to a great start, but then made a few mistakes with the ball, gave Paris some life, and that's a tough team to go against. They have playmakers all over the field on the offensive side of the ball, whether it's the quarterbacks, and I did say that plural. They've got two guys that can play that position as well as any in the area, if not the state. Outstanding running back and Coder, and then they've got another three or four guys that can just be playmakers. And Elijah Webb ended up being the most valuable player for Paris last night. He had an outstanding game. Had a 46-yard touchdown reception that he had. He had a fumble recovery and return that got called back on a penalty, but it was a scoop and score situation, and that was a pivotal point in the game, because I thought that's when Paris really gathered the momentum and got really charged up at that point in time, and was able to go on to a victory. Jamin Kaba was selected as the player of the game for Montgomery County as a part of the Blanton Collier Classic. He was our Downtown Athletic Club defensive player of the game. He had an interception in that ball game, and that's something that the Indians have really struggled with in recent years of forcing turnovers, but able to get one last night and at a point in time where it could have really been game-changing. But Indians played well, and next week we'll have their next game as they'll travel up to northeastern part of the state to play Greenup County, a really potent team, high-octane offense as well. So the Indians will be challenged again as they go on the road to play the Musketeers. This morning, we're kind of deviating from what our show typically is, where we'll have young student athletes come on and we'll talk about all their accomplishments and accolades and what's going on in their lives. But I thought, in light of some of the things that are going on nationally as it relates to school safety and things of that nature, that we take this opportunity this week to bring somebody on with us that's in the forefront when it comes to school safety and protecting our young student athletes and community, is to bring on Chris Barrier. Chris Barrier is the chief of police for Montgomery County Schools, and he's been in law enforcement over two decades now. Man, I still remember the young man he was when he first came to our community. But now he's got a few notches on his belt when it comes to experience. Chris has been a part of the school safety consultant, Kentucky Center for School Safety. He's been a consultant on the Association of School Administrators, and a past president of the Association of School Resource Officers. And Chris Barrier, good morning, and welcome to Sports Extra.
Good morning, welcome for having me. Thanks for having me.
And you've already had a chance to partake of some of the Scott family McDonald's breakfast menu. What did you have this morning?
I did. I had those breakfast burritos. I could just about eat a breakfast burrito anywhere I go. So I'm feeling pretty good right now. So thanks again for having me.
Off to a good start to your day. And of course, Chris, as I mentioned, is the chief of police for Montgomery County Schools. Kind of unique. Not every school system has a police force.
Right.
Of course, legislation recently was passed to where student resource officers is part of the equation now that the school systems are having to think about. We've been very fortunate here in Montgomery County to kind of be in the forefront and kind of leaders, if you will, in that administration. And you've been a huge part over the years of that, excelling up to your current status. And just in general, kind of talk about a little bit about what's going on.
Yeah, sure. So we're at this this point in school safety nationally, and you referenced that earlier. What we're really talking about is we have to find ways to make community members, families, students feel safe in coming to school so that they can learn algebra, right?
Yeah.
And we've been very fortunate during my time here in Montgomery County. There was a time when there was two of us, and there was a 2-year stint where it was just me in the district, and now we've got eight.
Yeah.
And so we've been able to put, with the help of the school board here locally and some legislation that came through and some monies that were given to us through the state, we've now got a school resource officer at every single school. And so we're very blessed in this community to have that. We're very thankful that we can do that and have positive interactions with kids at early ages, develop relationships. You know, what's funny now is I've been here so long that there's not a kid in our school district that I didn't know when they were kindergartners, first graders, second graders, and now they're graduating. I've got students who have kids in our school system now, and so that conversation is different when I'm like talking to them about their kid, and they used to be in school with us. So
and when you first came to this community, of course, you married one of our folklore heroes in Beth Vice at that time, now Beth Vice Barrier. But you came to our community, you were part of the local police force here as an officer and what have you, and then this opportunity came along with the school system. And did you ever think when you got into this industry, into this field, that there would be that need? Of course, 21 years ago, just a few years off from the Columbine situation, of course, yep, the Heath High School shooting that, yep, people tend to forget, but that happened, I think, before Columbine, didn't it, with the Michael Carneal,
right,
school shooting. But did you ever think, envision as growing up as a young kid in America, that this would be a cause for concern where you actually had to have police force. You know, we think about the big cities like New York and stuff, and they had security and metal detectors back since the beginning of the time, it seems like.
Right.
But did you ever think in small-town America, in a place like this, that there would be the need for police law enforcement in schools?
From a historical standpoint, the longest school-based police department in the country is Miami-Dade, 1965. Mm-hmm. And so they were forefront thinking back then. And of course, Lexington and Louisville were making moves like that in the early 80s and 70s. And again, when I came here, it was just two of us. Mm-hmm. And I thought we were just, we're gonna go in here and we're going to have some interactions with kids. And now we're at eight. When I just 5 years ago, there were about 185 school resource officers in the state. Now we've got almost 800.
Wow.
And so, like, that need has grown. And, you know, I want to change gears from the school part of it. And you referenced this yesterday when we were talking briefly. You were talking about now we have this need for, you know, safety and law enforcement at events, at sporting events, right?
Yeah.
So I'll give you an example. Taft High School in Cincinnati last night, they played a football game at Mount Healthy. Mm-hmm. Didn't have a single fan in the stands other than parents.
Wow.
And that was because we had a school shooting of a 13-year-old young man the week prior.
Yeah.
And so we have spent over the years millions and millions of dollars mm-hmm. on cameras and school resource officers and locking doors and window tinting and all these things that as it relates to the physical security of the schools.
Yeah.
And if you think about, and I'm just going to throw our name out there, Cunningham Field.
Mm-hmm.
Cunningham Field, in terms of its security, is the same as it was in 2008 when they opened the new the renovations at Cunningham Field.
Yeah.
And what happens is we apply all of our focus and our energy and our efforts into the school environment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know those 1,200 kids at the high school.
Yeah.
I know those 100 teachers. What I don't know, and this is where it becomes difficult for law enforcement as it relates to school, after-school events, sporting events in local communities. You can go to any high school in the country, pay your $5 and walk in. They don't know you from Adam.
Yeah.
And what happens is, I don't know their means, their motive, you know, or what they're there for.
Yeah.
And so we have to do a better job as it relates to school sporting events and the security involved with that. And if you look at the NFL, I mean, security's top shelf.
Yeah.
All right, even if you go over to Kroger Field today, I mean,
scanned.
Yeah, you're going to be going through the metal detectors. You know, the guy in the blue coats are going to be doing their things, you know. But high school athletics is very much different, you know.
Yeah.
And I look at it from an appetite, from a community perspective. So the appetite for school safety is pretty good. It's pretty healthy in this community. Like, they want us there. They're comfortable with the fact that we're in their schools. But here's where it changes. The minute we ramp up the security for a local Clark County, Montgomery County basketball game.
Yeah.
Or be it a Paris, Montgomery football game, or whatever the case may be.
Or a regional tournament like Montgomery County is going to be hosting this coming basketball season. That's a huge event.
I don't know. I'm not so sure that the appetite is there. I think that what happens is people say, well, hold on, this is impacting me on a different level, the adults we're talking about.
Yeah.
Right? But I think that they're comfortable with it at the schools. But now you bring it to a sporting event, and I think that attitude probably shifts some. And we really need to get away from that because it is such a it's such a big deal, you know.
Yeah, and you mentioned the fact of people you don't know coming in. There's not the scanning like you have at a major sporting event or a concert or something of that nature. You don't know what a person has on their person coming in and what evil they may be up to. And on a Friday night in America, you talk about Friday night lights and football. You're talking 2,000, 3,000, maybe 5,000 fans sometimes at some of these events, and you can only do so much. You got a big scope of a perimeter to actually cover. That's got to be a topic of discussions that you're having when you're having these consortiums and things with colleagues across the state.
Sure. So, you know, I talked about the means and the motive. Those are two variables that I can't control. I can't control your motive. I can't control the means because I'm not with these people out here, right?
Yeah.
We're in the opportunity management game, right? So I need to reduce the opportunity that a person may have to cause violence towards some of our students and staff. And you got to think about this. 2,000 people come to a high school football game. I don't know those 2,000 people.
No, no.
They're just on our campus. They've come to visit us.
Yeah.
And, it's something that my people are very aware of, that on a Friday night football game, and I've got, 5 or 6, 7 people there, and I've got the sheriff's department there, you know, we're not the only ones with guns in that environment. Yeah. I can promise you that.
Or you can't have that thought that nobody else has it, that you're the only one.
I would venture to guess that there's probably a dozen or more people that have brought firearms to those events, and it's like, so how do we reduce the opportunity? Again, we're opportunity management. I used to be really against the wanding and the magnetometers and all those things.
Yeah.
The technology has gotten so good with those things that I'm much more comfortable with them now.
Yeah.
I think they're less invasive now. I think that you can just push people through gates and stuff like that. And the magnetometers now have gotten so good about measuring density of metal objects in your pocket, so it's not going to pick up on your keys. It's not going to pick up on your cell phone. It's going to pick up on this 1 pound piece of metal in your pocket. It's like, hey, we need to look at this guy. And so it's gotten so much better, and I'm thankful for that. And I'm thinking that, and I've talked with our superintendent about that, and I think that that's something that we could move towards in the next near future.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you mentioned that, and of course I want to remind everybody that's just tuning in to Sports Extra. We're talking to Chris Barrier, Chief of Police for Montgomery County Schools, talking about school safety and, even more specifically, event management of our school and sports activities that we're having. But, Chris, last month I went up to the Little League World Series, and of course that's a first come, first served basis as far as entry into the venue. There's no charge for tickets, so you just show up and you walk through. And if you've ever seen it in the outfield, people have their own chairs that they bring in. And that's really, you know, when we're going through the magnetometers and stuff like that, I mean, that was about as quick of an entry that I've ever had. All they asked you to do was to pull your bag out, your chair out of your bag, if you were carrying your lawn chair in the bag, as we so often do. They asked you to pull that out just so they can view that. You had to have a clear bag if you were bringing anything else in. But, I mean, it was almost like you just walked in.
So pretty painless, right?
Pretty painless. And, I mean, it'd been no different if us was walking through the gate out at Cunningham Field right now.
Yeah.
You know, as long as you had your ticket, you just walk right on through. That's about as simple as it was. Now, they had a lot of law enforcement right there in that general location in case something did arise. But, you know, the folks that were checking you in that were the staff there, it was really quick. They'd let you know when you were like four or five people back, go ahead and get your chair out.
Right. And go ahead and knock that out.
Hey, so I already headed out. You know, I read all the signs going in. I read the stuff on their website before I got there because it was a whole new experience for me. But you talk about it not being invasive and not be like, oh, I got to empty all this stuff out of my
we're not
my
doing pocket. TSA level inspections. Yeah.
And I think sometimes, and I think we see this in society in general, and you can probably speak to this too, is that when we're asked to do something very minute for the safety of all, you know, this whole thing in America, we talk about privacy and things like that. It's like, let's think of the bigger picture here. What are we trying to accomplish?
Right.
It's safety for all.
Sure.
Who is against that?
Yeah.
You know, and like I said, is it the evildoers? Is it somebody because it invades on their creature comfort? And that's the thing that you have to battle as a law enforcement.
So when you talk about that, right, we referenced at the opening here about Taft High School in Cincinnati. And Friday night football games are community events, right? And you want the community involvement, and you want people there, and you want, you know, the cheerleaders and the band and the all of those things, student sections, all that. Well, when you reduce the fan level to where it's just parents alone, well, now we're taking away from what the sport is bringing to the community.
Yeah.
And we did that because we had a school shooting the week prior and that kind of thing. And it's just, it impacts our communities on much larger scales than they realize, right?
Yeah.
And so I would trade, if I'm going to that event, I would trade my 30 seconds of inconvenience to bring the community what ultimately they're after anyway. And that's to have a quality, safe event, you know, a sporting event where they can see these kids that they've known since they were young and you know, performing on Friday night and hopefully getting scholarship opportunities beyond that and all that. But that's really what we're talking about. And like you said, I would trade some of my creature comforts for that.
Yeah, and, you know, because at the end of the day, you don't want to be that person in front of the microphone with a TV camera crew asking you how said event happened that day. You don't want to be speaking to the loss of life of a school member, faculty, staff, or whatever, or a child. You don't want to be in front of that microphone. And I always tell people that in any profession that they're in, when it comes to health and safety and well-being, whether you work at a manufacturer or whether you work at a bank or in the school system, you don't want to have to be the one that has to stand up in front of that audience saying why somebody's child or parent or brother or sister's not coming home that evening. Kind of in line with this, and we've seen that here recently, that's going on with these bomb threats and things that are coming out, these electronic mediums that are putting those things. That's got to be something, too, that's a game changer that officials have, because now you've got to verify the threat.
Everything.
You know, GRC had a threat, or just here in the last couple of days, Anderson County. It's close to home.
Round County, you know, had to take some of their lockdown protocols into place twice this week. The internet has changed the game, right? And so there was we're a week and a half removed from a school shooting there in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Okay. And that popped on the national media, obviously.
Yeah.
And what happens is there's this domino effect, right? And so if we're getting this domino effect two states away in Kentucky, they're surely getting it in Georgia and Florida and Alabama and Mississippi and South Carolina, all of these. And so what happens is there's this huge ripple effect, and social media plays a big part of that, right? And so we're getting most every single rebound effect from that has all been social media driven, right?
Yeah.
And so, like you said, Anderson County's taken out of school. Round County twice had to go into lockdown. Mm-hmm. Now, you couple that with what happened on Saturday night, where you had this shooting event that happened on I-75.
Yeah.
And so, how did that affect high school sports? Mm-hmm. They had to cancel games down on 75 in that corridor last night because they still didn't feel like they had this environment of safety that was in place. They couldn't ensure safety.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it's a huge ripple effect in local communities when these kinds of events happen, you know?
What is the conversation, or what are the things that need to be out there to the general public? People that are listening in this morning that they're saying, hey, my grandchild or my child plays and I want to go. What does the fan or the folks coming and participating around the sport, not just the student athletes, what do they need to be aware of? What is the conversation we need to be having with them
and
their role in all this?
I am so glad you asked that, because there are two things that need to happen. The first is to elevate everybody's situational awareness, right? The second thing is to lose the NIMBY effect. And the NIMBY effect is not in my backyard.
Yeah.
Because what happens is people think, well, that happened in Atlanta, won't happen here. Mm-hmm. Oh, I can assure you it'll happen here.
Yeah.
You know, because it happened in Heath.
Yeah, yeah,
huh?
Yeah, it did.
It happened at Taft.
Yes.
And it happened at Carter County,
yeah.
Grayson.
Yeah.
And so the NIMBY effect, not in my backyard, it won't happen here. It will happen, it's just a matter of when, right?
Yeah.
So we have to change that mindset. Now, the first thing I mentioned, situational awareness. We're past the point where you can pay your $5 and just go enjoy a football game.
Yeah.
I hate that we're past that point, but
it's a reality.
It is a stark reality, right? So I like to tell people this. If you're at an event, a concert, a sporting event, whatever it is, there are moments of timeouts. There are moments of, like, dead ball scenarios, media timeouts. If you're at Kroger Field, take that 10 seconds and be aware of your surroundings.
Yeah.
That's it. It doesn't take, and the adults in the room need to condition themselves or begin conditioning themselves toward that to where they can just be aware of what's going on around them. Take that 10-second scan. All right, I'm good. My people are good. My kids are good. My wife's good. We're a safe place. I'm going about your business. Enjoy the rest of the game.
Yeah.
But throughout the game, scan.
Yeah.
Survey what's going on around you.
Yeah.
And then come back to your element of entertainment and all that.
I hate to admit this, but it's a reality. You know, when the shooting happened out at El Paso, Texas, at the Walmart, the situation that happened at the theater in Aurora, Colorado, these are places that I go. Mm-hmm. You know, I go to Walmart. I go to the theater. I'm looking at exits. I'm looking at any suspicious activity or things of that nature. It's just become a part of what I do. You know, it's no different than when I get in my car and I put on my seatbelt because I know, hey, there's a greater chance that that's going to save my life than not. You know, when I talk about things like, it's just a part of the consciousness. You know, I lost a relative of mine in a car accident right around the time I started driving as a teenager. that so impacted me. I didn't think about, you know, seatbelts as much back then. And of course, I grew up in the era where your seatbelt in the car was your mom and dad grabbing you right before they thought they were
the mom bar.
So I think they're going to have impact with the car in front of us on that big sliding bench seat, front seat. But it's like I said, our experiences kind of tell to that a lot of times.
Sure.
And if you haven't experienced something, it's kind of hard to grasp that a lot of times. But you know, now we're you know, 2 decades plus into what we're seeing in school communities and what's going on. You know, we joke a lot of times, people in my age band, about, hey, we used to come to school every time, and Joe had a gun rack in his pickup.
Right there in the parking lot.
What about that now? And I mean, is that, I'm sure it's something you think about, and, you know, just as much as we would used to have the canine come to the school and they sniff the lockers for drugs and stuff like that. Is that still something that that we're doing and trying to prepare for?
You mentioned the awareness about where the exits are. Okay, so like in my world that I live in, man, I don't go anywhere. I'm talking the mall, restaurants. I'm looking at exit doors. So I'm socially conditioned to that.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that it's important that as parents of young people, they begin to learn to do that as well. Mm-hmm. Because you're living in this world where there's so many uncontrollables. We're in this restaurant right here, and I don't know anybody in this restaurant. And so, like, I already know where that exit door is, right? And so like, I'm mentally conditioned to do that. And so it's really important that we start teaching people to live in that thought process, right? And I'm so glad you brought that up, because again, that speaks to that situational awareness. Now, in schools, you know, you mentioned you used to go to school and not think another thing about it. The bell would ring, you'd walk out, you know, you're going on to your next thing. Well, in schools now, we have maps in every single classroom. We have maps, exits, you know, exit strategies, points of, you know, emphasis, and all these things in every single classroom. And so that we are constantly throwing stuff at these young people, so that in a time of crisis, they have a plan. They have a plan.
Yeah.
You know, and we drill them, and people are like, man, that's such a traumatic experience to put them through those training events. I say, yeah, can you imagine a real event?
Yeah.
A real crisis event?
Yeah.
Like, so conditioning them and putting plans in place in front of them so that they have something to fall back on if something were to happen, it's important for us.
I know probably a lot of parents that are listening to have school-aged children, they probably are more aware of this, but, you know, you mentioned that you got coverage for all the schools and the school systems. What things have been put in place? You know, when you first came here, Montgomery County wasn't an all-enclosed campus, you know. It was like, you know, and you talked about access points and things like that, and they've eliminated that with connecting all the school buildings from an outside access. What are things that are in place infrastructurally within our school buildings to help when there is an active shooter situation, and then kind of helps you all from a law enforcement standpoint of kind of containing where maybe an active shooter may be in an event?
Yeah, so man, I'm so glad you brought that up. You talked about infrastructure. So when I look at school safety, I look at it in three components. I look at personnel, I look at infrastructure, and then I look at policies, procedures, and protocols. Those are all things that are on paper, right? Then, of course, you have infrastructure and personnel. Now, I already told you we've increased our personnel. We've got one SRO at every single building. Okay, so let's take the personnel piece off to the side for a second. And our school board and our district has been forward-thinking and very supportive over the years, and we've grown this thing into a pretty big animal and creature, right? Mm-hmm. So when we look at infrastructure, those are one-time costs. Those are things that we put in place that are important to ensure the safety of the students in the schools. Think about the layers of an onion, okay? So I have a security guard, Steve Trimble, does a wonderful job. He spends time working the perimeters of the building, okay? Then I have, as you approach the buildings, you'll notice that there's no bushes really close to the building, all right? So what we've done is, through environmental design, we've taken away some of those places where somebody might be able to hide something. You know, you put a weapon next to a tree, a bush, right by the door. So we've taken away those elements. Also, we've secured the doors. We've put in case you haven't seen it at all the schools, we've put new window wrappings where you can no longer see into the buildings, but we can see out. Again, locked doors, cameras. There's those yellow bollards up there next to the window area.
That's what I was about to say. I've noticed that myself here recently, especially out at McNabb.
And of course, you know what those are there for. They're there to reduce the ability of somebody to take their vehicle and ram
right
into the windows.
Yeah.
And so, like, we have done a lot of things in this district to create
a sense of security, and as I notice I say a sense of security because they are there. They're fixed positions, so people can work around them.
Yeah.
But they're there for that intentional purpose, right?
Yeah. Yeah, because I'm sure those people are like, oh, why are they spending money doing this or spending money doing that? Well, there is a legitimate reason. I tell people all the time in human resources, we have policies because of something that has happened.
Oh, yeah.
Or something
yeah.
that we know.
Every policy has a name attached to it.
Exactly. There is a reason for that. I said, the only reason why we have this policy is because somebody's done something to make us have to create that. And we talk about lessons learned, and I do want to let everybody we're here on Sports Extra, coming to you live from the Scott's Family McDonald's this morning out here on Maysville Road. We're talking to Chris Barrier, the chief of police for Montgomery County Schools, and just talking about school safety in general, more specifically event management and how you have to excuse me, be prepared for different things. And of course, I know each event that happens nationally, it's an opportunity for lessons learned, and you probably do your SWOT analysis and things of that nature. What are some things maybe you've learned in the last, you know, few major events that we know about, you know, whether it was last week down in Georgia or Uvalde, Texas a couple of years ago, and somebody's what are maybe some things that have been coming out of those that even you say, hey, we're two decades in a lot of this stuff, but we're still learning.
Well, we're very much learning, and every school shooting event, every act of violence that happens in schools, we're doing what we call an after action review. So we're taking a really deep dive into these things, the causation, you know, how did it happen, why did it happen, where did it happen. Something that we've come to recently, and this is something that we're going to start moving towards here on a national level, is our protocols now are being used against us by school violence people, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So what happens is, down in Parkland, Florida, for example, pull the fire alarm, what's going to happen? Mm-hmm. Kids walk into the hallway. They become victims.
And similar, so, was at Jonesboro, Arkansas, where the little kids pulled and they were sitting out there waiting to shoot kids.
Yeah. Right? And so, like, your parents, you, your children, all of same protocols.
Yeah.
And so those protocols are being used against you now. And so, like, we have to evolve with those things. And so what now we're looking at doing from a national level is a stay in place. You can't burn a school down.
Yeah.
Important things are concrete and steel and you know
absolutely.
What I mean? It's like the Pentagon, you know.
Unless there's some kind of accelerant throughout or something. But yeah, you're right.
And so what happens is, like, the safest place for them students are behind closed locked doors in their classrooms. It's the safest place that I can create for them. They're not in hallways, they're not in open spaces, they're in their classrooms behind a closed locked door.
Yeah.
And so what happens is we've taken these after action reviews, and now we're having to modify and evolve our school safety protocols to meet the need of the changing environment and landscape around us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the things that's huge now and right now is a topic of conversation nationally are cell phones in the schools.
Yes.
You can see the pros and cons, can't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Your thoughts on that about, you know, do you feel like, they do need them, or hey, that also could be a problem, too, not only from the educational standpoint, but just, you know, what they can do with their phone. You know, we talked about all these internet scams and things like that. Kind of your thought from a law enforcement perspective.
You know, you're a parent. I'm a parent. You know, I've got two teenage kids, one in college, one in high school, and I pay for their phone, and I want them to be able to have access to their phones, right?
Hey, but I'm not a parent. By
way. Yeah.
I feel like all the kids out there are my kids.
You brought several along.
Well, I need to call Maury Povich up. I was like, I didn't get that envelope. You got Tom McMakin back there at the studio falling out of his chair. He's like, I knew he had one.
Yeah, I knew he's got three of them little rug rats running around.
Saw a little kid the other day. He looked just like a little Ross. Dan Manley's listening in. He's probably cracking up right now. He's like, Chris done pinned one on him. Well, I hope they're over 18.
I hear things.
I ain't got no money to give them.
We talk about cell phones. And so what we've seen here recently in the last few years, there's trends where students can still keep their phones, but they're in locked bags. And so that locked bag limits their access to the phones during the day so that we don't have some of these internet threats and some of these fights that evolve from, you know, he said, she said, back and forth and that kind of thing. And so I've become a much bigger fan of those over the years, you know, because teachers need to be able to teach and instruct kids without distractions and those kinds of things. You know, we talk about school safety and how it impacts, you know, student learning.
Yeah.
All right, so here's what I know about school safety, Ivan, is that students are never going to learn algebra. They're never going to learn English until two human conditions are met.
A, they feel safe and they feel loved. And so when we look at the community and how much money and emphasis and attention we're putting into school safety, you know, we're doing that so that they feel safe.
Yeah.
And then we've got 700 staff members in our school building who are going to make them feel loved.
Yeah.
And so that's how we meet the need for them to at least start their day.
Yeah.
We feed them.
Yeah.
We love them when they walk in the door, and we keep them safe. Now let's go learn algebra.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, exactly.
And like, I feel before we, all those things have to happen before we can even start the class.
Hey,
you know,
I don't know what the variables are, and you know, I don't know what X is supposed to be or Y. But you
right,
know,
right.
I may never learn that.
But I got some food in my belly.
Yeah.
You know, the teacher gave me a fist bump on the way in, and I felt safe when I walked in the door. And so, like, at least at that point, we're starting it at a good starting place. You
there
know,
there you go. You're giving me my best opportunity.
That's exactly
to
right.
To be able to learn algebra. Chris, what is the process of, or when would you get involved? Let's say, you know, you talked about building relationships, and a lot of times maybe a student will come to you or one of your other resource officers and say, hey, you know, I saw this online, you know, these kids are bullying said kid or whatever.
Yeah.
Or if that's going on, if they mention it to a guidance counselor or one of the assistant principals or principal, where would you and your staff get involved to try to monitor that situation? If you need to be kind of keeping your eye on a situation that may be simmering, that could explode into the kid that is the victim.
So it maybe hasn't quite reached the level of being a criminal offense at that point.
Yes.
So this is what people need to understand about school resource officers and how they operate in the school world. Yes, I'm a police officer.
Yeah.
I only operate as a police officer like 10% of the time.
Yeah.
The rest of the time, I might be teaching a class on Fourth Amendment to the social studies class of Swinmore and his bunch. Okay, I do that often. And then I'm acting as an informal counselor. There's a lot of times, man, before a fight becomes a fight in the cafeteria, we can be like, hey, little Johnny, we ain't going to do that.
Yeah.
And so at that point, now we're being a counselor.
Yeah.
And so, like, sometimes parents are like, well, why'd you intervene? Because I was trying to keep your kid from getting into a fight, which would have eventually led to an assault charge on your kid, right?
Yeah.
And so, and people say, you said, when do you get involved?
Yeah.
Well, the beauty of it now, Ivan, is that now I'm getting involved, get this, kindergarten.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Because I need those people, those young people, six-year-old kids, when they walk into a building, not all cops are bad.
Yeah.
Not all cops are bad.
Yeah.
And man, those guys at the elementary school, man, they're giving out candy, they're giving out fist bumps. Why is that?
Yeah.
Because when they're in the eighth grade, or they walk into the high school where I'm at as a freshman or whatever, I can look at them and be like, and he looks at me and says, well, you know, man, all cops are bad, man.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And if I tell him, hey, you got to tighten up, get in line, it's not a confrontational moment because he's been dealing with police officers since the kindergarten.
Yeah.
That's why that early interaction, the early intervention is so important. You know, we should just catch them when they got into high school.
Yeah.
And at that point, you know, their experiences about law enforcement, their experiences and how they felt about police officers, by that time is molded, locked in stone. They're going to think how they think about police officers by the time they get in high school.
Yeah.
Well, if I can shape that mentality from the time they're in, you know, elementary school, okay, so not every cop's taking my dad to jail, coming at the house, knocking on the door because mom and dad got into a fight last night.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so, like, the interactions can be positive. They learn that early. And so when they do get to the high school, well, maybe I'm not going to jail. Maybe he's just trying to keep me from being a knucklehead.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, and we talked this morning, of course, Sports Extras, the title of the show that we're on, sponsored by your Scott's Family McDonald, talking to Chris Barrier, Chief of Police for Montgomery County Schools. And we talked about event management. And for a better part of your career as a student resource officer impact and role, you've been in these sporting venues as a coach, as a parent, as a bookkeeper, in so many different capacities. And we talk about fan behavior.
Mm.
You know, talk about how we're losing officials due to some of these things as it relates to fan behavior. You've been in the gym, I know, a few times where at a hot-headed parent, you know, get after a coach or an official.
Yep.
Having to manage those situations.
Yep.
And some of the things you're learning in school, maybe, you know, little Johnny or little Sarah knows that there's something going on in their home life with mommy and daddy.
Sure.
Then all of a sudden the game, Tuesday night, you know,
That
could pop off into something more.
For sure.
And those are things I know you got to be going in, because a lot of times, you know, we may have city police or the sheriff's department be there kind of in tandem and work in concert a lot of times. But those things are real, aren't they?
Absolutely.
And the knowledge you maybe gained during the school day can help you during these extracurricular activities.
You talk about
fan behavior. Let me get that book off the shelf, right? Because that's a book all in and of itself.
The unabridged version.
Yeah. So, you know, we talk about that. One of the things that's great about our presence with the kids all the time, and so we talk about student sections, because let's be honest, that's where a lot of the jawing back and forth happens. And, you know, I talk specifically about fan behavior at inside events. We talked about football earlier.
Yeah.
Open events, a lot going on right there, right? And so when we talk about inside events, everything's much more close to the court, much more close to the action. Tempers and stuff tends to elevate more quickly because everybody's in tight, right?
Yeah.
And so part of the good thing about our presence at these basketball events, for instance, we can go to the students and be like, hey, whoa.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. And here's what we do. This is a tactic we use very often. All right, everybody has to be in that first row of the bleachers. I'm moving them 8 inches from the floor to the first row of the bleachers. But what's it do? It limits their ability to step onto the court.
Yeah.
It changes the whole thought process, right?
Yeah.
So little small things like that. And we sense it. We feel it, right? Mm-hmm. I'll tell you another thing. You talked about the referees. What's really awesome is I'm back coaching 7th grade girls basketball again. I'm helping Jordan Perry out. Helping my boy out.
There you go.
You know, I couldn't leave him hanging. He had somebody, you know, cut out on him at the last minute. But here's the thing. The referees all know me, and they don't know me because my daughter played and had success at the high school level. Yeah. They know me because it's like, man, if something happens, that's the guy you want to go talk to, right? And they've seen me at these events, right? And I'm wearing my uniform, and they know that, like, I'll get them to the locker rooms and all that. And it's funny because we have a pretty good relationship. I might have a little more rope than the other coach.
Yeah. For me.
Yeah, remember me. I'm like, I'm just that guy. I'm a little upset, but
you do the Reggie Hammonds scene from 48 Hours,
right?
Put your badge up. Yeah. It's like, new sheriff.
But yeah, that's right. let me get his time out as I'm waving my badge, right?
There you go.
I'm
like, hey.
Right. But, you know, it is like so like creating a level of safety at a safe environment at an interior event is so much more significantly different than it is at an exterior event. And our guys do a good job of that. But officer presence is a huge part of that, just simply being there. And you notice my guys, you know where they stand? If you notice, they stand on the wall.
Yes.
You know why that is? It's a big empty wall. Nobody's there. And nobody's so, like, there. They're like, well, there's the police. I better act right, you know?
It will deter some of the behavior and some of the way
it's people, strategic in why we do it.
It truly is, and it's an unfortunate thing that we have to deal with in sports. You know, we used to always say, hey, you go to a professional ball game and people feel like, oh, I paid to get in here. I have a right to, you know, express how I feel about a call or what's going on out on the floor. But, yeah, to a degree.
You do.
Maybe you do.
Until it impacts the game in a negative way.
There you go.
In the environment of the game.
Yeah.
And what we're trying to accomplish in high school sports, sometimes people lose sight of that part of it.
Yeah.
You do have a freedom of speech until such a point to where it impacts the game negatively and the environment negatively and what we're trying to accomplish. So, yeah.
We're here talking to Chris Barrier, Chief of Police for Montgomery County Schools, here on Saturday Sports Extra. Don't forget, come out and get that Kit Kat Banana Split McFlurry for a limited
at
time. Hey, a limited time. Hey. We know how to do this. It doesn't matter. You know, you got to get some calories in your body. Why not indulge yourself in one of the decadent delights, whether you want to come out and enjoy in their breakfast menu here this morning. I had the sausage egg McMuffin. Tom McMakin back at Studio 1A, as I'm calling it down there on West Main Street. He had the McGriddle this morning, the sausage McGriddle. Chris had the burritos. He said
right.
He loves a good breakfast burrito. But you can come out here to McDonald's, take advantage of the breakfast fair, or, hey, maybe you're going to come out a little bit later and get ready for the UK ball game this evening as they take on Georgia, and you want to come out and get you a Big Mac or a quarter pounder or some nuggets. You know, that can be you set that nugget tray out as you're watching the game. I know Chris is going to try to get home at noon and watch that elephant team play against a bunch of Badgers
on the Fox
on the Fox noon kickoff that they have, but under direction of his new coach Kalen DeBoer. But hey, come out to the Scott Family McDonald's, take advantage of all the great offerings they have here. They'll serve you with great customer service, whether it's the Basil Road location here in Mount Sterling or at the Pilot Travel Center off of exit 113. And as Tom mentioned, also the McDonald's they have there in Owensville, which he stopped by and patronized this morning. So we appreciate all they do for young people. And we kind of shifted gears today talking about the school safety in light of a lot of the things been going on in communities in our area and then nationally. And speaking with Chris on that front, Chris, what as we come down the stretch here in these last 10 minutes, what is next? What's the big thing right now that you're talking about with school administrators, school board, the superintendent, about maybe what they need to be thinking about, maybe what, if any, type of resources you feel like you and your staff need to, sure, to ensure better safety. You know, it's never going to be perfect. Better safety, because
sure,
as soon as we think we've got everything, 100%
right.
As soon as we think we got everything figured out, you know some crazy person's on the interstate shooting at people. You know,
right.
I mean,
and how does that impact schools?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we had to shut down Laurel County schools for an entire week.
And think about this: those kids on that bus from Harlan Independent School.
Mm.
Wow.
How traumatized are those kids?
Wow.
Okay, so you mentioned the bus.
Yeah.
I want to talk about that for a second. So, we've done such a good job nationwide with schools, school safety, locked doors, cameras, all the infrastructure pieces that you talked about, and that's a very big part of school safety, is the infrastructure piece, right? But it's generally focused on schools.
Yeah.
Buses. Let's talk about buses.
Yeah.
Man,
that's exposure.
Right. So we've hardened those targets.
Yeah.
Okay? And we, from 7:30 to 3:30, we got them.
Yeah.
We're good.
Yeah.
I got to put them on a bus and go home.
Yeah.
And I'm rolling 45 buses in Montgomery County in such a soft target.
Yeah.
So if I were somebody with evil intent to cause harm to kids, I'm not going to the school. There's police there.
Mm-hmm.
I can't get in the building. You know.
There's a bus stop right there.
And so we've had, believe it or not, and for those listening out there, we've had early and often conversations with our bus drivers.
Mm-hmm.
How do you use your bus to keep kids safe? How do you use your bus?
Yeah.
Because at that point, it has to be a tool.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And I've told our bus drivers, if there's somebody at a bus stop that you don't recognize, keep going.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
Because we don't want to invite that, the unknown, into our world.
Yeah.
Tell them, keep going.
Yeah.
If something were to happen on your bus, use your air brakes.
Yeah.
If somebody's standing up doing something wrong, boom, hit your air brakes. And that now we've got a possible, you know, assailant, right?
Yeah.
At their disadvantage. I've taken their balance away from them. I've knocked them down. And I've got 40 kids, you know, jumping on top of them.
Yeah, trying to, yeah.
You see what I mean? And so, like, we have to find ways now to harden that piece of our school.
Yeah.
Because, man, you know, half our students, 50% of our population gets on a bus every afternoon, and the parents' expectation doesn't change
when it
comes to school safety. So the expectation is my little Johnny goes to school and that he comes home safely.
Yeah.
Well, it isn't at 3:30 when that is the end of their expectation.
Mm-hmm.
It's 4:30 when they get home on a school bus.
School bus.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we can't focus all of our effort right there alone.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so those are things that we've done and we paid attention to. I think they're important. One of the things that's big for me, Ivan, is that we move towards consistency throughout the country, and even in Kentucky more specifically. So, like, our level of supports and things that we've done in Montgomery County are significantly different than they are in other places that don't have the resources maybe that we have. You know, our board's been fortunate, and, like, they've been generous in terms of giving to where we can create this environment of safety. And it's, when we talk about school safety, one thing, don't ever look at it as a destination, because you're never going to get there.
Yeah.
Right? School safety has to be a mindset that is continually evolving with the changing environments around us, right?
Yeah.
It's not a destination. I think that's really important for people, for the listeners to hear. So don't ever think that we're going to be, like, sitting back on our heels going, boys, we've made it. We're safe, right?
Yeah.
Because that's not our mentality, and it's never going
to
be.
You've got to be thinking, what's the next thing? We got less than 3 minutes here left to go, Chris. One thing I wanted, let's say, you know, we're hosting the regional tournament this year in basketball.
Yes.
Indoor facility. Let's say something happens. You know, there's an active shooter in there.
Right.
How do they have to respond in that situation? You're talking about mass chaos with you know, 4,000 plus potential people.
Right. And you're going to have 4,000.
Yeah, yeah.
So. Yeah, it's going to be Clark Mason Friday night, whatever, Clark Montgomery Friday night, whatever it is. Yeah. I'm not throwing those other teams out there, but what I'm saying is like.
I like that. You infuse that
in there. I'm going to put those big three up there, guys. The rest of y'all play in a second.
I love it.
No, but what happens is the pre-planning is so important, right? Yeah. So, like, leading up to that event, and Austin and I have already had, Austin Maples, our athletic director, does a phenomenal job, sees the 10,000-foot view. Like, he doesn't just focus on the games. He's a great thinker. He's a great mind to be around. What we do is we plan. I've got a 60-page document that I go through and I go check, 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 and I'm checking all these elements long before the event ever happens. So pre-planning is important. Early communication is important with the sheriff's department, our local partners with fire and EMS, and all of those things. And so we have a pattern of things that we go through just before the event ever tips off.
Yeah.
And so it's one of those things that we don't just show up on Friday night and think, well, I hope everything goes well tonight.
Yeah.
You know, it's really important that people understand that and like our work begins and all has already began. Yeah. Austin and I had a conversation to start the summer. He said, hey, here's the dates for our event. Let's start working towards this. And it really, people need to understand like that. We put a lot of intentional thought and focus and conversation, pre-planning and going into the events and all in the hopes that we're doing those things and keeping that environment for what high school sports really is and what it should be and what I hope it continues to be in our community.
Man, thanks for coming out and talking to me this morning.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. You're smarter than I ever give you credit for.
Right.
love giving Chris a hard time.
You give me an opportunity to talk about my jam. I'm going to talk about my jam.
I appreciate that. Sports and law enforcement are two things that Chris doesn't mind sharing his thoughts on. And he'll be watching his Crimson Tide be badgered today a little bit up at Camp Randall in Madison, Wisconsin. I know he's excited about that. And I know he's happy for his daughter starting her college experience up at Youngstown. And we keep our eyes on that. It's, what, December the 12th? When is that? When they come to Northern Kentucky?
I believe it is. Yeah.
I think I put that in my mind frame. But hopefully, when they come down to play the Norse there at Northern Kentucky, we can get some fans up there, and hopefully, it doesn't conflict with anything we've got going on with the Gateway Sports Network. I said I'm going to try to get up and watch her and her.
I think the Lady Indians are playing Cooper. Maybe that same.
Oh yeah, right.
I think Jordan Perry may already have a plan in place.
So there we go. But we appreciate Chris this morning as we come to. And be sure to go back if you missed any portion of this today at www.wmstradio.com/sports-extra to listen to today's show and others. My thanks to Tom McMakin flying us through this today. Until next week, this is Ivan Rawls saying so long from the Scott Family McDonald's.
FM at AM 1150 WMST Mount Sterling. CBS News Time.